You're about to snag another quality radio show. Want to snag yourself a bargain? Get epic deals on electronics, homeware, beauty and more with Amazon's Black Friday sale. Live now at amazon.com.au.
I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready?
Sam Worthington coming up on the show. A worldwide star of the biggest movie of all time, Avatar. That's giving a second running, show, Avatar 2.
With our mates, Brendan Cowell in it as well. Lara Bingle, married to Sam Worthington. It's just a star fest.
Brendan Cowell, his name comes up, I tell you. Anyway, so... Now, look,
you're an A-grade idiot.
Socceroos, it's got to be out there. Socceroos are playing, as we know, it's huge. Here we go. Ale, ale, what's the score, Ed? What's the score?
7th minute, nil all.
All right, so that's big. So we haven't lost yet, is what we're saying. So
I love that. That's how we're going to run it all morning. But you know what? Good if we haven't lost yet, which we won't lose until 80 minutes.
But do you want to get paid to show support? For the Socceroos, what's our number, Ed?
13 10 60. Lines are open. Are you up? Are you watching the Socceroos? Are you having a soccer party? Are you up and you're fired up? $50 from our friends at Swish. They'll get a sports star to give you a personalized message and take advantage of their huge spend 50, get 50 offer. Get 2 gifts for the price of 1 this week only. That's Swish.
So right now we're going to do a live poll. Who cares about the soccer? Who doesn't care? 13 10 60. All you need to do is have an opinion. I care or I don't care. Right now the board's empty.
Producer Beck at a massive pub that's going off its knockers.
We're
going
to do that.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Oh, we're live at Scruffy Murphy's. Producer Beck, can you hear us? Beck, can you hear us? Beck!
For the love of God, Beck!
Beck!
Stop,
live!
Beck! Stop, Beck!
Beck! Can you hear us? No, Beck, go to someone on the phone. What do you think, Ed? Talk us through it.
No, right, get off David Russell's there. A ball to the right-hand side as we got behind the French defence, behind the Hernandez, who's an awful person, across, and then Craig Goodwin with the left foot high into the thing. Matthew Leckie got the best of an absolute scumbag called Teo Hernandez, puts the ball across. Pepe Vicano, he sucks. Hugo Lloris is nowhere to be found. Too busy crying about FIFA's rules. And then Craig Goodwin with the left foot on the half volley into the roof of the net. Socceroos won. The scumbag French, zero.
French are the...
Craig Blur.
Is he a left footer, that bloke? Craig Goodwin?
Has a beautiful left foot that he
that wheels. That is next level.
Just speak to someone.
United, and that's how it works.
It's 1-0.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who do we speak to?
Mate, that is the best thing that's ever
He's
happened
back there
today.
Now.
Beck!
Hello, hi!
How is it down there?
Oh my goodness, the atmosphere is crazy. I can barely hear anything. I can't even hear myself think.
It was incredible. It was like...
Oh my goodness.
Did the place just erupt?
Yes, it completely... It's still going nuts here. It's still going nuts. Oh my God.
Have you had a drink yet, Beck?
Oh, I'm close to getting one.
Get
very
one.
Close.
Bring get a drink.
Yes. And sort of, can you order some drinks for Erin at the bar? Just say,
I'd like a champagne. Thanks, honey.
I'll get two, Erin.
Completely serious.
Incredible.
Oh, that was amazing. Can I just say, the only thing better than that Australian goal was Ed's commentary. Oh. That is what should be on the national coverage.
There
That's
should be a
telling
secondary
it how
channel.
It is.
Second channel.
Where they're all scumbags.
Socceroos are ahead. Hero Australians won. Scumbag French FIFA sucker uppers. Back pocket of Qatar zero.
Does David really not care? David,
I don't want to talk to David.
David.
I have no interest in David.
What about Russell? He cares from Emu Heights.
To Russell then.
Russell.
Right. Russell.
Yes, I care.
Can you believe it, Russell?
I can't because... I'm driving just now, so I'm trying to listen to it on the radio.
Oh, wait, you're trying to listen to the actual...
I know, but we've got your $50. Are you so pumped up now, David? Russell?
Yes, I am, mate. A great start to the day.
Hey, Russell, you're probably thinking, if you're really into it, that you'd listen to another network that's covering just the game. But given that we came back live, are you willing to stick with us and know that you won't miss anything?
Yes, I will, Erin.
You're a good man, Russell.
I don't believe him.
I don't know.
Half the team is Scottish, so thank you for your players. Husey,
Ed and Aaron. Australia 1-0 up in the World Cup against France. We will cross back to there when it's relevant. But we've got to do a show.
Yeah, I know.
And that's fair.
It is fair, but it's disappointing. But no, it's also fair.
We're very lucky right now because we have an expert on in her field, Australia's best potty training trainer.
Yes, from pottytraining.com.au. Very lucky to have Tracy Fullwood with us this morning. Thank you, Tracy.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Hi, Tracy. Now, this is just basically about me and my daughter. I've got a 4 and nearly half-year-old, so a June baby, 4 and a half, has been toilet trained with Wheeze for a year now, basically, but still needs a nappy to poo. And day before, I tried really hard to kind of get her to sit on the toilet, and I was going to hold the nappy under her, so, you know, to try and do something that would encourage her to do it, because she just point blank refuses, and she got really distressed and upset. And I just need help to try and get her to go to the toilets for number two. So, yeah, it's not,
Is this an unusual story, Tracy, in your long career, what Aaron just told you?
Well, I've been doing this for over 13 years now, and I call it the poo challenge.
Yeah.
Running away and hiding to poo, wanting the nappy back onto poo, withholding poo, basic toilet refusal for pooing. And it, look, it's a weekly discussion with parents. So I hope that makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And you're not the only one out there experiencing this. It's quite common.
Yeah, because she'll put it, it's almost clockwork. Like, you know, she'll get home from preschool or we'll be together all day, but it's about that kind of 5 or 6 o'clock mark. She'll ask for a nappy to do a poo, go into her room. She wants to be alone, into a corner.
Yes.
And then that's it. But she normally just doesn't want to sit on the toilet. That's fine. But I really tried to push it and she got very distressed.
Tracy,
which upset me.
Tracy, what I said to her and what we did with our first child was we used to cut a hole in his nappy and then get him to sit on the toilet with a hole in his nappy. So he still had the nappy on, but he would poo through the nappy. That worked for us. Do you think that's something she should try?
Oh, look, absolutely. Things like that can help. But look, the underlying challenge is not focusing on the poo. It's actually more behavioural. So our goal is to help parents refocus, make it fun for your child, but with a dedicated approach to your child's needs. It's not a one-size-fits-all, I guess, approach, because it doesn't work for every child. So the first thing I usually do with parents when they approach me with a poo challenge is I say, describe your child. Look, do you have a strong-willed child, Erin? She an I-do-it child?
She's in charge.
Okay. She's strong-willed, but she's also very strong-willed in making me do everything for her.
So she dominates Erin.
She doesn't dominate.
One where you put her orange juice in the bin, which was wonderful. Because she'd thrown a tantrum at the juice shop.
But, yeah, she is my ruler, yes.
Yes,
well, look, be encouraged, Erin. The strong-willed child is actually the easiest to overcome when it comes to a poo challenge, because you can actually use their strong-willed nature to your advantage. And this is what parents often find. If you're not working in her strong-willed strength, and it can become a bit of a challenge. So with that, we call them the courageous lion, or courageous lioness in your case, Himi Roar, and the I do it child. And basically what they need is choices, big girl winning, miss out. And if you're able to help her feel in control, it's that out of control feeling that basically is causing her to not want to poo, and particularly getting used to doing it in a nappy. This is the problem. So
but how do
break,
I
break this habit?
I feel, because normally, like with eating dinner and that kind of thing, I can say, oh, you know, I'll give you some chocolate, or if you do this, we can do this, or whatever. And that generally works. And then we get to a stage where it's just habitual for her. But I feel like just the distress she showed was like, I feel like it's gone beyond now. That, and even if I say, let's put up a chart and tick it off, let's make it fun, let's hear, mummy will bribe you or reward you. I just felt like there was something, I don't know if something's happened at preschool, or I feel like we've now got into where she's terrified of it. So how do I bring her back from that to even just try different things again?
Absolutely. So you can never force anyone to poo, because obviously it makes it worse.
Yes.
It's very much about that quick, let's go feed the hungry toilet the peanuts. Do you want the blue one or the pink one? Your choice, darling. And it, making it fun, it's like the little toilet targets or blowing bubbles on the toilet. It pushes the right muscles to go. Plus, oh, my goodness, how much fun's that? If you're just focusing in on the poo, she's not going to be interested.
Yeah,
that's what she's scared of. So you need to, that's that refocus, make it fun. You need to focus on what a child would like. So from blowing bubbles to bombing the peanuts to, you know.
that's a good one. Yeah.
And you start with what they're good at. So if she's great with wheeze, then you first use those sorts of things and encourage her to do a wheeze, champion at wheeze. Well done, so proud of you. And then you can reset your alarm. Reset a routine, like using the alarm. Do you want this alarm noise or this alarm noise at the time when her poo routines are happening? And again, right there, you're racing to turn it off. And well done, I'm so proud of you. Quick, let's grab a prize and you can open up while sitting on the toilet. So it's those sorts of
things. Yeah, they're great ideas.
I've got one controversial idea, and they've shut me down here.
We shut him down, Tracy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, but what about laxatives? Like, give your child a laxative so that they will now sit on the toilet and the laxative does the job, and then they go, oh, hang on, I've done it. Is that ever a good idea?
Not something that I've recommended. I guess if you do have constipation issues, yes, go see your GP. We recommend that. But if you want to go down that path, go for it.
Well, thank you.
I don't know if Tracy's the hand of God, but Tracy, my initial reaction was, oh, hell no, am I giving my child laxatives to, because you can't switch that off, right? Like, you give them laxatives, they go to the toilet, then the rest of your night, I don't know if you can just then put a cork in it.
Yeah, a good diet, pear juice, lots of water, that often is enough, but it isn't a constipation issue.
It's not at all with her, completely. That's been great. Yeah,
thank Tracy Fullwood from pottytraining.com.au. Thank you so much. We're going to get your tips, everybody listening, a little bit after 8 o'clock, but it's news time. And then after that, it is Alpha Bucks Clues. You got 5 of them coming your way. New
still,
FM.
Still 1-0 at the soccer, by the way. So I think it's worth updating people.
Of course
people.
It is. Right, even if you're not a nutcase soccer fan, everyone is so into this. Even if you're really not, you still need to know.
Ed, fair to say, if this result stays the same, it's the biggest moment in Australian sporting history.
By some distance.
So we're dealing with the fact that France are 2-1 up in the Soccer World Cup against Australia, and all hope is gone.
Are we dealing with
nation?
Well?
No, we're not. No. But we're going to move on with the show because,
say all hope is gone from a nation.
It's over.
It's not over. Ed, is
They've
it over?
Extinguished the flame.
Ed, is it over?
Come home. Come home, guys.
Oh, sweet.
Come home.
God.
Yeah.
Let's
save the accommodation money. The backroom staff at the Socceroos should be now clearing at their hotel. We're going up.
I love that never say die attitude that you're so well known for.
You know what, though? Should they take a plane home? I'm not sure. Maybe they'd be safer swimming because of the new idea that's coming in the world of aeronautics.
What do you mean?
Peter Overton said this last night, and I nearly spat out my falafel roll when he said it.
Airlines around the world are pushing to remove co-pilots from planes, leaving just the captain at the controls.
Ooh. So you're in charge of these huge jumbo jets. Only one person on the plane knows how to fly.
I don't like it.
One person.
Nah. What if they have a heart attack or choke on like a carrot?
An anaphylactic, reaction to.
Or if they're tired, they just fall asleep.
Or they're just in a bad mood.
Or they forget what they're doing.
But also one, you know what? I don't want to be
negative Nelly.
Catastrophist or something. You only need, if there's one person, you only need someone to get to that person saying,
a terrorist.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, do you mean like get them kind of like work on them over time?
Yes.
And, oh, God. I thought you meant so not just hold a gun to their head and say,
but actually
crash.
Get inside their heads and go, I put it to you that there's not one person listening to us who would be okay with this. Not one person. So one pilot.
I don't think you can. I just don't think you can.
They want to take it even further. Have a listen.
The likes of Boeing, though, lobbying global regulators to allow just a captain and no co-pilot. They have lofty ambitions.
Yeah, the psychological barriers are probably harder than the technological barrier.
They're even working on no pilot at all.
No pilot.
Sake. What?
You know when your Google Maps tries to take you off a bridge sometimes where it goes turn left and you're like, I can't because there's no, it's a wall or something?
Okay, if my Boeing is using Google Maps, then
that's what they're going to be
doing.
I'm
driving everywhere.
That's what they're going to be doing, I would believe. Yeah?
You would believe. Have you done any research?
Well, I no, apart from watching the news last night.
I don't like it. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't like
it. We need to send a strong message to the airline industry that this is not okay.
Actually, yeah, if you call up 131060, let us know if you are okay with this. If not, we're going to package it up and send it to Boeing.
Hey, but we heard from Peter Overton that from the Channel 9 News that the airlines want to get rid of one of the pilots and only have one pilot. What do people think? Aaron, your brother is not speaking to you?
Well, he's so angry about this, I don't think he's speaking to anyone. Or, as you suggested, he's currently up in the air having a heart attack.
No, but I said that because what if he did have a heart attack in the air and he was on his own? Well, then there'd be no one else to fly the plane.
Unless they get the air hostesses to just do a basic course, like a hang gliders course.
You know, I was on the plane the other day and they said, is anyone with a medical background? You know, I honestly, when they said that, does anyone on the plane, is there any doctors on the plane? And they went up to the person, I was thinking, oh God, I hope they're not heading for the cockpit. You know what I mean? If the doctor had headed for the cockpit, that was my worry. You know, maybe both pilots have bloody got the runs or something, you know?
Yeah, they'd catch it off each other, wouldn't they?
Exactly, because they're within close proximity. But what do people think?
Well, Sonia from Waterloo, do you love the idea of just one pilot up there?
Oh, no way in the world. What if something happens, you know?
Exactly.
You know, a heart attack or anything in the cockpit, and then we all go down. You know, way, no way.
Would you have a crack at flying the plane, Sonia? Would you just go, you know, if you're the last, you know, if there's no one else to do
it? I hope you got to do something when you're up there. Somebody's got to do something if the pilot's not, you know, able to.
You've seen the movie, Sonia. You just pull it up, right? You just pull it, and then the plane goes up. Just pull.
Yeah, hopefully.
But also you keep it steady, don't you, with it on the horizon.
You've got to try.
Just keep it up. Just get it up. Thanks, Sonia.
She's not alone.
Stephen from Penrith, what about you? Do you love the idea of one or no pilots?
Guys, no way, man. Like, some flights are like 14 hours.
Yes.
They have to have a nap. What if they have a nap and they oversleep their alarm clock?
Exactly.
Hello?
Mate, they're not napping at all if they're alone. I'm sorry. Yes. What the hell? Let alone missing their alarm.
Another scenario, what if they go to the toilet like your brother's in the toilet right now as he's flying?
Please.
Has a heart attack in the toilet from pushing one out because, you know, with the pressure, it doesn't come out easy on a plane.
Oh, that's a really great point. Is it harder to poo on a plane?
I manage, but
you manage in any condition.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's great, Stephen. Great insight. If we could stop referring to my brother having a heart attack in the air, that'd be really great. What about Ben?
It's 100%. Well, is it 100%?
It is. Well, it depends on Ben, but I believe it to be 100%. Just quickly, Ben, one pilot or no pilots, good idea, do you reckon?
Mate, it has to be two pilots. You know, you can't go on a road trip by yourself, can you? What's this stop, revive, survive business? You know, why doesn't it apply to a pilot?
Stop, revive, survive.
That's brilliant, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you.
Finished off superbly.
You can't park the plane in the air, can you? Because the pilot wants to have a nap, but he's going to park it. Oh, he's going to drop down into this island in the middle of the Pacific because the pilot needs to sleep.
That could actually be quite fun.
Well, if you could get out and have a swim, maybe.
100% of people. That's the message we're sending.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
It is still happening. I tell you what wasn't still happening up until today, and that is one of your favourite all-time segments. We were flying back from Cairns.
Yes, what a great trip
and
we had.
And it was an incredible trip. We took a heap of our listeners, like we always do. We're not elite. We don't just holiday on our own.
And we hang out.
We all hang out. Yep. It was great fun. On the way back, this lovely lady, one of the air hostesses on my flight, came up to me and said this.
Susie, I'm here with the most lovely Sandy, who was just saying that she loves
Coincidental Wednesday. And my biggest coincidence was I was thinking of Coincidental Wednesday one day when I turned the radio on and you were doing Coincidental Wednesday. And I thought, well, that's the biggest coincidence. And I love coincidence.
They bring it back. They bring it back. Bring it back.
Okay, that's probably a fair indication of why the segment was canned.
It's an incredible coincidence. She was thinking about Coincidental Wednesday, turns the radio on. And we say Coincidental Wednesday. Do we say this? Did she?
It's Coincidental
Okay, I got to say, I was hoping for more when she said she had a coincidence, but that's what makes this segment so wonderful is that it never had to be top notch.
We are coincidences great.
Yes.
And small. We will take any coincidence you've got. What do you win, Ed, if you ring us?
Well, you can book a personalised video message from a sports star on Swish and take advantage of their huge spend 50, get 50 offer. You get two gifts for the price of one this week only. That's Swish. I tell you what else. Our friends at Swish have given us $50 cash.
Yes.
$50 cash. It's cash for coincidences right here on the new Today FM. So 13 10 60, lines are open. $50 cash. Thanks to Swish for any coincidence at all.
Yeah, and right now it can be you. Win $50. Just tell us your coincidence. We've got a beauty from one of our producers. This is an all-timer.
Really?
I think we need to hear it.
Oh, I'm pumped.
Sasha French.
Yeah.
What did you do recently?
I recently bought an apartment, my first ever property purchase, a big deal.
Yeah, and can we say that you're...
Congratulations.
And I love it because you've waited a long time, you know, mm-hmm. and you can we say your age?
Yes, 51.
So she's waited till she's 51 and she's bought a property.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work goes into that. That's amazing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yes, and what's the coincidence?
Well, I bought it at auction and I wasn't even going to go to this auction because the place needs to be renoed. So I was just like, nah. And then my boyfriend was like, nah, come on, let's just go along and watch
Steve Price.
Yeah, sorry, Steve Price from The Project, Australia Today, columnist.
He said,
and
go along.
Then we were watching the auction and he said, why don't you just put a bid in? And anyway, I did. I bought the property. Wasn't expecting to.
Yeah.
You know, very exciting. So straight up, half an hour after buying it, I went to watch an event that Ed was doing. And as I walked in, a guy called Timmy, who I haven't seen for 2 years, who used to work with us.
Love Timmy.
Who coincidentally is the voice in the Coincidental Wednesday.
Oh, stop it.
Nah, he's the voice we just played.
Yes.
This is amazing.
So I walked into this event. I have not seen Timothy for 2 years. And I said, Timmy, I finally bought an apartment because we always used to talk about this.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, my God, so exciting. Show me a picture. I showed him a picture and he said, is that apartment number 11? And I went, yeah. And he said, I was living in that exact apartment when I was working with you.
What?
It's Coincidental Wednesday.
That is actually ridiculous.
The first person I saw after buying the apartment was the person who lived in it.
Okay.
That is a crazy coincidence.
That is actually ridiculous.
So we've set the bar really high there, but you don't have to.
No, remember Debbie from the plane just a few seconds ago, hers was low.
Right now, it can be you. Has there been any coincidence in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You can win $50.
Yeah, 50 bucks, cold hard cash, thanks to our friends at Swish. 13 10 60, lines are open, no coincidence, too small, and or
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
But what we've got here is a revival of Coincidental Wednesday because Erin Molan was on a plane and the flight attendant said, where's Coincidental Wednesday? Mm-hmm.
She was filthy that it had gone anywhere and I promised her we'd bring it back one last time, depending on how it goes. And if it goes well, it could be a regular segment again.
We've been inundated with calls. People want to get involved. But Violet, you are one of our senior producers. You demanded some airtime.
No.
With your coincidence. What is it?
Okay. So it's not as good as Sasha's, but last week when we were in Cairns, we were all in the cab together. It was so hot. So I went on Google the weather.
Yeah.
And it was like 27 degrees in Parramatta. And I remember saying to you guys, what it's saying I'm in Parramatta. I'm not in Parramatta.
You're
we're
in Cairns.
Cairns,
yes.
And then Erin looks to the left and there was Parramatta Public School. So we're in a suburb.
So you're in a suburb called Parramatta in Cairns.
It's in Cairns. And I'm from Parramatta. Yeah. So I felt like I was home for some reason.
So you right now you think that was a coincidence.
Okay, you know what? This is really cruel. Because she told this earlier and you said that was abhorrent, not a coincidence, pathetic. You then say she's demanding airtime and she's going, oh, no, no, it's not good. I don't want to. And you say, no, you have to. She then comes on, says it, and you say, you're saying that's a coincidence?
But that's saying that's a coincidence?
It's a good story, right? No, it's not.
I realize now that it's not a coincidence.
No.
The fact that there's it said Parramatta because you were in Parramatta.
But I was confused.
So that's not a coincidence.
It's okay, I'll come comfort you in the toilet
segment.
After.
Thanks so much, Erin. Thank
What's
you.
What's a new segment called?
Oh, well, it's an old one that we used to be on Hey Hey It's Saturday. You know what it is?
What?
Folks are dumb where I come from. That's fair, isn't it? She's still alive, that woman.
Add that to your HR list.
What's her name?
Jackie McDonald, living on a farm in Queensland, having a great life.
Is she?
Oh, good on her. Good. Everyone has a great life once they leave the media, don't they? Something in that.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, let's get to some coincidences.
Yeah, we've got so many. Everyone's really excited to come on after that.
Tony from Blacktown's excited. Tony, what is your coincidence?
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Very good.
My coincidence was back in about 2018, me and my girlfriend, we used to watch the same YouTuber on the internet. And it just so happened that we were opening our presents together Christmas morning, and we both ended up buying each other the exact same piece of merchandise, the exact same T-shirt for one another as a Christmas present.
What?
Yeah, so you both bought the merch of a YouTuber. Yeah. So, and you both love that YouTuber.
Well, we did, and then the YouTuber sort of went a bit defunct. So.
Yeah, he's defunct. Yeah. Probably got cancelled. But, you know what? I imagine on his website...
It was a partner group.
Oh, it was a group. But anyway, they would have had so much merchandise on their website.
Merchandise.
And to both pick the same T-shirt.
Yeah.
Mad coincidence.
Yeah, massive. Yeah. Well done, Tony.
That's better. I reckon that one's
two
better.
Two words that come to mind here.
Better than violets.
Polish and turd.
That's three words. A.
No, I said.
Well, you should have done.
Did you like Jenny, or have we had enough?
No, I want Jenny.
Jenny from Southhurstville, what is your coincidence?
Come on.
Hi, I was working in a nursing home, and I was talking to the new receptionist who came in to see us, and we just had our birthdays coming up soon ahead of time. And she said to me, oh, what date was your birthday? I said, oh, the 28th of March. And she said, oh, yeah, so is mine. I said, no, you're joking. She said, no, it is. And I said, oh, so what year were you born? She said, oh, 72. So, of course, that makes me 50 now. She then said to me, so what hospital were you born in? I said, oh, King George V at Camperdown. She goes, you're joking. I said, no, that's where it is. Anyway, I had my birth certificate in my handbag because I was doing filing and stuff. So I showed her my birth certificate, and she goes, wow, I was born in the same hospital too. Same year, same day, everything.
Yeah, that's it! We're back, baby!
Real strong finish there. Well done, Jenny. You might have saved a segment.
Well done, Jenny. You know, well done, all.
Almost makes up for the fact that France are now up 3-1.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Avatar, The Way of Water. It's in cinemas 15th of December.
Yeah, it is huge. The first Avatar is the highest grossing film of all time, starring Sydney's very own Sam Worthington.
Yeah, it's incredible. Married to Lara Bingle.
I watched the first one with my children only a few weeks ago. They put it back in the cinemas. They remastered
it or whatever. It was 3D or something.
Kids loved it. So yesterday I got to hang out with Sam Worthington and Cliff Curtis, who is a New Zealand actor who's been in many films, you know. Jeez. So... He's really good. So the two of them.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was just going to look him up. Absolutely. Because I haven't even seen the first one yet. But do you reckon Eliza, is it 4 or 5 year olds? Like it's good for young?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the first one, definitely. And the second one, I'm sure, will be as well. So I got to chat to them. You only had 5 minutes, right? So you couldn't muck about.
Did they know you were a star as well?
Cliff, I don't think, did. But Sam, I was hoping he would. I was hoping that Sam would give me a.
He'd be a fan of you.
He'd have to be. But he's very cool for school though, isn't he?
He's not
understated.
Too, no, he's unassuming, and he's not someone who he doesn't crave the limelight. So junket's not his thing. He doesn't want to be he doesn't want to walk red carpets. He doesn't want that Hollywood lifestyle. So he's a bloke at the pub who you'd see at the pub and you might go, he might give you a wave. And
but he doesn't want to converse. He doesn't want to talk to you.
Well, he's not a big chatter in life.
Yeah, right.
But I really wanted to bring up Brendan Cowell, who is a great friend of ours. He's an actor who's in Avatar as well. And I wanted to connect Brendan Cowell to you, Erin Molan. So I do bring up Brendan Cowell in this interview. Doesn't go too long, but just, they were very lovely people. I saw the first one back in the day, Sam, but I saw the first one again with my children only a few weeks ago. And my oldest is 13, who was basically born around the time the first one came out. And I've got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. And I wondered how they'd go with it. It has stood the test of time. It deserves to be the highest grossing film of all time. Do you agree with that?
That's very high praise when it comes from a 13-year-old, what I mean?
So I loved it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, when we were working on this... I got a screening put on. John organised for it, a screening for my lot to
yep.
have a look at it. And I think they were ages like 12 through 7 and 5 and 4. So, yeah. And yeah, it stood the test time. It totally worked.
Absolutely.
You know, and I was immersed in sort of watching it again.
Yes, it's a brilliant film. So it's 13 years later. Now, Cliff, you've jumped on board. Now, did Sam help you out during filming as to – look, it's James Cameron. He's got a reputation for not suffering fools. Is that fair to say or not?
It's true. He's a blunt pragmatist. He's very honest. But it's great for Australians and New Zealanders. That's what you want. Someone that just tells you how it is.
No bullshit.
Yeah, that's
no,
it.
Yeah, man. No. You want to turn up and get on with the job. Get on with the works. You don't need all of the excess stuff. Yeah,
you don't need your ego being fluffed.
No, that's actually really distracting. Because in this business, you can't tell what's real and what's not real. Sometimes there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. But at least with him, there is that, and that's what I really enjoy about Sam. You know, there's. You're there to work. You're there to do.
I'm not here to fluff your ego. No,
it's
not your fluff.
It's not on the menu. No, it's not. It doesn't exist in the way that we work. So.
But an epic production, and the underwater stuff obviously is going to be amazing. And how long underwater did you go holding your breath?
You learned the technique, this freediving technique, where you calm you're getting more oxygen into your body than you normally would have into your blood cells. It's not just about holding your breath.
Yep.
And then you calm your heart rate down.
We've got the best people in the world helping us, so everything's safe.
Yeah, like the Big Blue kind of thing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So you're learning this technique and then you go underwater to perform these emotional scenes. So it's hard enough doing those type of scenes on dry land for some crazy reason we're putting them underwater. So it's like, it was very difficult. And,
was it up to like 7 minutes without like?
I think Kate, she was pulling out those numbers. You kind of lost track of time because you're in the middle of these scenes. The water kind of disappears. It's only after a while do you realize, oh heck, I'm 30 feet under the water here. You know, and I need oxygen. It's when you're doing it, you're just acting in a scene. It just happened to be to be submerged.
Was there times though where you thought, I'm so deep in this scene, but hang on, I'm about to pass out or not?
There was a couple of those moments.
Really?
And then it's action scenes, because even if you think you're burning oxygen.
Yes.
So if you're doing action scenes, you better have enough oxygen in your system.
Yeah.
Because it's burning at a quicker rate. So it could get a bit hairy, but it adds to the tension of the scene, I guess.
Yeah. Now, have you guys seen the completed film yet or not?
He's still working on it.
He's still working on it. He's still going. Yeah. So it's December 15. It's going to be amazing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Now, we've seen quite a bit of it, and then we've seen it in different forms as well. The weirdest thing is we're in it. We know what's going to happen, and we're getting emotionally upset. And Jim's laughing at us going, what's wrong with you guys?
It's a really emotional ride.
Yeah. Now, Cliff, you've been in some big films in the last decade, basically. Is this for you, was this
this is what we call the peak experience. You're at the peak, the penultimate. You're at the peak of the mountain, right?
And it was filmed mainly in New Zealand. Is that right? Is that where?
I'll say that
it's in New Zealand. It's a combination. A place called Manhattan Beach in California. That's where all the water tanks are and stuff like that. But the majority of it is down in New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the last few years it's been majority down that way. Yeah. And there's the whole special effects crew comes from New Zealand.
Yeah.
A lot of the design elements come from there.
Yeah.
Proud for our little community of storytellers.
And a main one, Brendan Cowell, is in the film as well, isn't he? Yes, right. Yes. So there's a big New Zealand Australian connection for this film.
Yeah, he plays a sea captain.
Yeah, yeah.
Big.
He's great.
So I grew up with Brendan too.
Yes, of course.
And when Jim said to me, I want him this. He's a very ochre young man.
Yeah.
And I think he's pushing the ochre a bit. I think he's pushing it.
Just dial that up.
He's dialed it right up, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, that was great.
Cliff Curtis and Sam Worthington with Husey, Avatar The Way of Water, in cinemas 15th of December.
Yeah, look, we had to cut out what they, when I brought up that Aaron and Brendan were
you
an item.
You did not bring it. We were not an item.
Yeah, I brought it up.
We were not an item.
I said, cut. Cut.
Who said cut?
Brendan doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, God. Doesn't he? Oh, really? Is that right? Is it? I know what you're trying to do. You're looking for a headline. It's cheap. It's tacky. And it's not going to happen because the news joints in this country can identify.
Can they?
No, they can't.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
The Living Room finale, episode 7:30, Friday night on Channel 10.
Yeah, don't miss it. It's a legendary show with a heap of superstars on it. And so the finale this Friday night.
Huge.
But Dr. Chris Brown, I don't want to play favourites, but he is our favourite.
Yes, that's very, very kind of you to say that. I mean, I'm the only one on the call at the moment. So that's a very easy statement to make as well.
You know what? Dr. Chris, last night I was on the way to, where was I?
Going to a comedy thing at Wyong.
Yeah, at Wyong, anyway. And then Aaron sends me a message. What's that?
Cash job?
No, actually, that's going through the book, so happy to talk about
good
that.
Question
the
Leagues Chris.
Club at Wyong's a ripper, actually. It was a great Tuesday night. But you know what? Aaron sent me a message saying we need to talk to Dr. Chris Brown about his Instagram post.
Well, I know you and him are great mates. You're his go-to. He's your go-to.
I know, but I had seen it and it actually had, intrigued me, but I didn't think he'd want to talk about it. This is singularly
the greatest thing I've ever seen online or off. Doctor, could you maybe impart what happened onto our audience, please?
It was just a regular day in the vet hospital where I work, and then I got told we had a walk in. So someone who hasn't made an appointment, they've just walked in. And
emergency, fair to say?
Well, of sorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just looked at the computer screen to tell me exactly the description, and the description was dog's penis stuck out after humping unicorn. Which is an attention-grabbing description at the best of
what? This is going to sound ridiculous, but unicorns, I'm sure, they're not real, are they? Like, I know, because sometimes I get confused between mythological characters and extinct.
You've never worked on a real live unicorn, have you, Doctor?
I never have. I have worked on a sheep that had one very large horn, but that's a separate story altogether.
Okay, so so it's mythological. Yep, great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so look, but for this dog, the unicorn was very real, and I genuinely thought at some stage that this may have been a prank.
You're right.
That you guys may have been up to something.
Or a final hurrah. Or, for the living room,
Yeah.
Miguel might have gone, I'm going to get the doc a good one before he sign off.
It's Miguel out there in a donkey suit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as it turns out, the treatment would have been Miguel. Because for the said problem, I walked out and to speak to this owner and the dog and thought still fairly cynically that this may not have been real. But I was quickly shown the video of the dog. It's a large labradoodle, very large dog, large fluffy dog. But the unicorn is also quite large. The unicorn was bigger than it.
So it's a unicorn, like a toy stuffed unicorn.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a large toy, which I'm told was gifted to the dog because the dog was lonely.
Jeez.
And
mate, the video is graphic. The video, you put the video up on your Instagram.
It'll be taken down because it breaches standards.
Is it still up there?
I did wonder, whether it may have breached. It may have breached some standards. But putting that small issue aside, every patient deserves a chance, and deserves my caring hands. And we still have a problem. And the problem is that the unicorn was doing fine. The dog's penis was stuck, because if they do it too much, if they hump too much, it does get stuck out. And
so it can't get back in.
Which is a serious medical problem.
How do you get it back in?
I think the doctor's about to tell us.
You have to coax it back in, Husey, gently, with gentle hands and a lot of lubricant.
You have to push it back in.
It's at that point that you realise that it's been an interesting career.
How long did it take?
These aren't skills they teach you. You have to improvise.
You got to use your own kind of experience.
I can only do I liken it like when you're blowing up a lilo and that plastic bit you have to pull out. Do you know when you pull out the plastic bit and you blow into it and then you got to fold it back in
and squeeze it a tiny bit to let the air in when you're blowing?
Is it something like that? Is it similar to that?
Without the mouth work, usually probably the differentiation of you.
So all's well that ends well.
What did it cost out of interest, Chris, for that service? Like, what was the fee for the
The client.
Per hour? No, it was a very competitive. I think about $150 for that.
Well,
that
was,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a good rate. But I mean, the scary thing is that's not the first time I've had to do that. That yeah. this is, since COVID, this actually happens quite a lot. So, and it's because dogs, it's an attention seeking thing, right? They do it. They do it when their owners are around. It's because it's so shocking, it's so surprising, and it's so captivating that. They know they can get their owner's attention by doing it.
But can I just ask you this? And my dog does it a bit as well. Not as much anymore. He's getting old. He's like 16 or 17. But he's been like neutered. Like he has no testicles. Yeah. So, but they still do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not actually a sexual thing. I mean, they enjoy it, but it's more. Yeah, beautiful. It is more so attention grabbing that they know it's their go to mechanism to get you.
Did you get the dog's consent before you put it up on Instagram, mate? Honestly,
I actually did. I felt like it was fairly sensitive personal information. There's no patient doctor confidentiality in animals, but I thought on this occasion. We needed stuff.
That is absolutely brilliant. Doctor, you have exceeded any kind of respect we had prior through the roof.
Yeah. Friday night, we're tuning in.
Oh, and coincidental Wednesday. Did anyone else notice a coincidence in that story?
No.
The dog had a penis that stuck out and it is a labradoodle.
Well done. Well done. Well done. 7:30 Friday night, Channel 10.
That was
the living
good,
room.
Thank you,
Doctor. Really good. Susie, Ed and Erin.
I've just had a heap of messages through from people saying, what's that book called that you spoke about yesterday? Colleen Hoover, It Ends With Us. I just got another two messages then.
Yeah.
Colleen Hoover, It Ends With Us was a book I did a review on yesterday that everyone's reading. 5 stars.
I'm excited. I'm going to read it too.
Yeah, good.
And men can join your club, can't they? Your book club that we're...
Look, we're pretty strict. It's pretty strict.
No, man.
I'll review each application based on merit.
Personal review.
Yeah.
Do we have to send photos or not?
Depends on how much of a man you are, essentially.
Goodness gracious me. Now, hey, you are a mother, you're a single mum, and you're working hard, and you've got an issue with your beautiful daughter, yes?
Yeah, essentially she does everything. She's four and nearly four and a half, but the last step of toilet training and is doing a poo on the toilet, and she got very distressed a couple of nights ago when I really tried to push her just to sit on the toilet. And of course, the second she got distressed, we stopped and gave her a cuddle. But I now feel like I've gone beyond that bribery I need some tips on how to get her, because now she's associating it with bloody fear and everything else. So, and I just don't want her to be, you know, in year 12 and still wearing a nappy.
It's pretty unlikely, I'd say.
I don't know the way we're going.
Well, she's only four and a half, but we got some tips from an expert earlier in the show. Yes. She was on her way to the airport. She was at the airport, wasn't she? Because she's in demand.
Yeah, Tracy Fullwood from pottytraining.com.au told us these.
If you're just focusing in on the poo, she's not going to be interested.
Yeah,
that's what she's scared of. You need to focus on what a child would like. So from blowing bubbles to bombing the peanuts, and you start with what they're good at. So if she's great with wheeze, then you first use those sorts of things and encourage her to do a wheeze, champion at wheeze. Well done, so proud of you. And then you can reset a routine like using the alarm to what this alarm noise or this alarm noise at the time when her poo routines are happening. And again, right there, you're racing to turn it off and well done, I'm so proud of you. Quick, let's grab a prize and you can open up while sitting on the toilet.
What does she really want? What sort of what do you want for Christmas?
Well, the issue, and you know this better than anyone with her, is that she already gets what she wants.
Well, she's already got everything.
All the time. That nothing is a, like nothing, there's nothing left that I haven't given her that I can use as a carrot.
You're right.
Like, she want a chocolate, she get a chocolate. Like, it's just, I need to start to withhold things.
Do you? Oh, look, that's an expert, but everyone's an expert, aren't they? Can we get people to call us and find out? Have we got? Can we? We've got time for this, yes?
What about your little tip? Tell your tip.
Well, laxatives.
Oh, no, not that tip.
Not that one. But in the interview, you can hear on the podcast, our expert didn't rule that out completely, did she? She didn't.
She sounded really uncomfortable.
But she didn't rule it out.
No, she said if you want to do that to your children, then you can. She said you can.
My other tip was cut a hole in a nappy. which is what we used to
do. I really like that.
We used to do that with my son because he had the very same issue.
And then won't the poo fall through?
Yeah, but you hole in the nappy and then they sit on the toilet.
Ah, you missed that crucial point.
But again, I will just, I was at a Bunnings once holding a nappy and I said to one of the Bunnings workers, have you got some scissors? They said, why? I said, I want to cut a hole in this nappy so because my son needs a poo. It was a strange look I got.
They found the scissors.
So.
Did they? Right. What, did you need like pliers? Like what kind of nappy was it?
Well, you need a scissors. Wool. You need scissors for a nappy. You're not going to do that with your hands. It's not like a, you know, a bread roll.
My siblings and I, there's four of us, one boy, the littlest boy. I always have this memory when we lived in Brisbane of us girls cutting or ripping the top of his nappy out and then pulling his little Poopsie. Friend through and we would pretend it was a submarine.
Goodness gracious me. He's now a pilot, isn't he?
He is.
Hope he doesn't have flashbacks. He's trying to land his 747.
On his own, if they get their way.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
I wonder how old Harry was when he potty trained. I reckon he would have been late.
Harry who?
Styles.
Oh, the song we just played.
Who else are we talking about?
Dr. Harry?
Dr. Harry or Prince Harry?
Oh, would have been late? Prince Harry would have been late.
I reckon later children go earlier generally because, you know,
they watch their siblings.
But they're not fussed over like first ones. Like my son was fussed over. Your daughter is fussed over.
Yeah,
you make it too big a deal.
You're right. No, I'm contributing to the problem. Absolutely. No doubt.
I think you should just stop worrying about it and she'll do it whenever she likes. If she's 15, she'll still do it. Still wearing a nappy?
You can't find them in that size though. I'm already struggling to get big enough nappies.
We've got advice, do we?
We do. We are looking for potty training advice. Amelia from Picnic Point's got an idea. Amelia, what's your advice?
I know Erin said that she doesn't have any more carrots to offer, but you can take her to the shop to pick something that she really wants and it goes up on a shelf and it becomes like the poo toy.
Yeah.
And I love that.
She's allowed to hold it when she sits on the toilet as like a reminder, but she can get it once she's done a significant number of poos on the toilet, like 5.
I love what about that.
No, we're just looking for one, Amelia. Like,
no, it's then got to become habit. Like, there's no point in doing
and
one then reverting.
We gave M&Ms as well to, like, get him to sit on the toilet.
I love M&Ms.
Like, she watch TV on the phone on the toilet, but it really was, like, the toy. And we ended up getting one of the Bluey characters, Snickers, who ended up with the sausage shop that looks like a poo. So.
Now, how many kids have you got, Amelia?
Two.
Yeah. And so did they both potty train at the same time? Was one, you know, more advanced than the other? Or?
No. So I've only potty trained my son when he was 3 and I've got a baby at the moment who's still in nappies.
So your 3-year-old is potty trained. Yep.
Yeah. It took a good week.
Thanks.
It
took a week.
It was probably a week that I didn't really
want to
relive.
No. All right.
Okay. You know, thanks.
What?
Really. Thanks for pointing out the age. Yeah. Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks, Amelia. Now, Dean from Sutherland's got a tip. Dean, potty training tip, please.
Good morning. Yeah, I've got Dean. Morning, Erin. I've got two youngsters, and I had a problem with both of them. We ended up seeing a poo doctor.
Wow.
And yes, they exist. And on their recommendation, they said to watch this little YouTube clip called Tommy's Toilet Triumph.
Yeah,
so Google that, watch that. Get it on their iPad, take off their clothes because it's getting nice and warm now. Get them in the toilet with their iPad watching Tommy's Toilet Triumph. It worked a treat for both my kids. Yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks so much.
You know what? I think Dean is onto something because I'm reading a book that Ed put me on to. What's the book called, Ed? It's The Way
Inner Game of Tennis.
The Inner Game of Tennis. And what this guy has said is don't tell someone how to do something. So don't tell your daughter how to do it. Let her watch images of it happening. So what Dean has said is watching Tommy triumph on the toilet. So if Eliza watches Tommy triumph, she will get that image in her head.
And then what could we call her video that'll go viral?
Eliza's.
Why did you twice said my daughter's name wrong?
No, I feel under pressure. Her elation.
Eliza's.
No, I don't. It's weird. I can't talk about it.
Thanks, Dean.
Uzi, Ed and Aaron are off to snag a bargain. Want to snag your own? Get epic deals on electronics, homeware, beauty and more with Amazon's Black Friday sale. Live now at amazon.com.au.